Welcome to the best 5-Minute Wine Podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Hi, it's Lori Forrester, the wine coach. It's my mission in life to demystify wine one glass at a time.
All right, let's start on that demystified journey. Born and raised and where you got your impressions on life and everything. Where was that?
Born and raised in New Jersey, the wine capital of the country. Ha ha. My first impressions of wine, maybe a jug or, you know, a box showing up on a party day for my parents. Did not grow up drinking the fine wines of Burgundy or Bordeaux. That came much later in life. Certainly in New Jersey, you got to be quick with a wit and a comeback. So that does serve me when we talk a little bit about how I infuse comedy into wine tasting. But like a lot of us, I learned about wine through a job in sales and entertaining clients. And so I didn't embarrass myself. I started studying, taking classes, and then fell in love with it, but not the attitude that a lot of people have in the wine industry. That's changing, thank God. But that really sort of turned me off. And later when I decided to quit my 6-figure software job and become a sommelier, I remembered that feeling. And so the way I do things is always to, you know, never talk down to people, to just bring people along. And instead of calling myself a sommelier, although I am certified as one, I thought, you know what? The wine coach, you know, a coach is there to bring you along, to cheer you on. And that's what I want to do.
To rewind just a little bit, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest on the West Coast in Alaska, Montana, Idaho, Washington, California. I had never been to New Jersey, but I'd heard the talk about it, you know, from movies, and the impressions I got was that New Jersey was the, you know, the stepchild of New York. And then actually visiting New Jersey, I thought, why do they get such a bad rap? It's not as bad as I thought.
Yes. I mean, it is the Garden State. And in fact, if I took you to where I grew up in New Jersey, you might think you're in California. Actually, I'm from the northwest part of New Jersey in the mountains. It's a lot of agriculture. It's a very rural area. So in fact, there are urban areas near New York and Philadelphia, but a lot of the state is quite rural, suburban, and we are known for our excellent tomatoes and corn. I don't know if you know that.
What kind of childhood did you have? Because you've got, obviously, you've got the intellect and then you've got comedy with that. Were your parents jokesters or did you come from a large family? What?
You know, there were 4 of us kids. And yeah, you know, I was sort of the one that would use humor to diffuse situations. And so that kind of played into it. And then, you know, being from New Jersey, you're always the butt of every joke. So you have to have a comeback ready. You have to have, you know, sarcasm. It was just part of growing up in New Jersey. I just, you know, naturally used that throughout school, college, and then later in my working life. Certainly when I got into wine, I did all the studying and the certifying and really started doing wine the way, you know, you're taught to do it. And then I realized along the way, after doing a lot of tastings, that people want to know far less than you think they do. Yeah. What they really want to do is have fun with the wine. Yes, they want to walk away with 1 or 2 tidbits they can share with their friends and their family, but they want to have a great time. They want to enjoy it. And people learn more when they're in a good mood, when they're laughing, and when they're interacting rather than being lectured to. So that's kind of how I lightly started using comedy. And then later, I did a really scary thing. I took a class at the DC Improv here in Washington, DC, and it was called 5 Minutes to Funny. And basically a working comedian teaches a class and they teach you how to create comedy. And your best, you know, grounds for finding comedy is your own life. And guess what? My stuff was about, you know, being in the wine industry, being married to a chef, having a daughter who draws pictures of me drawing, you know, drinking wine, and what the teachers must be thinking of me. The graduation was performing that 5-minute set in front of a live audience.
Boy, that will accelerate your learning curve, won't it?
It was kind of an out-of-body experience, I have to say. Even though I was quite an accomplished speaker and had been speaking all over the place, doing comedy is a whole different ballgame. And so, yeah, it was scary. But later, after I recovered from the experience, I thought, you know, why couldn't I bring some of this comedy into my tastings? Just amp it up a little bit, include some improv games and interaction with the audience in addition to the tasting and wine education. And so I put together a one-woman show called Something to Wine About, and that's what I'm going to be performing on July 10th at the Room at Cedar Grove in Lewis, Delaware. I went to Penn State. I'm a Nittany Lion, and I am a supply chain management major. So something that became very valuable during COVID, but I had already switched myself into wine. But yes, back in the day, we called it logistics, but it's about getting the right product at the right place at the right time for the lowest costs.
You moved into the tech world. Is it anything we know?
No. We sold a constraint-based planning systems, but back in the day, you know, multi-million dollar product. I was selling to Fortune 100 companies. Not something maybe the everyday person would know about, but something every company absolutely has to have to plan their inventory, to know what warehouses to send it to know how to get the product to the right place at the right time. And you know what? When you're selling to C-level executives, they don't want all the details. They want the bottom line. So take something complicated, make it simple, and then take me out for a great meal with a really expensive bottle of wine. So that's where I really started engaging with wine. I was embarrassed because when I would be handed a wine list, I had no idea how to do it, how to pronounce it, what would be great with the steak versus the fish. And that was another one of my motivations to really start studying wine. Along the way, I took a food and wine pairing class where I met my husband, Chef Michael. You know, our whole courtship was all around food and wine. And one day I just said, you know what? Maybe I should just pursue this wine thing as a career. And so I took a sabbatical. I don't know if you remember those. I asked for 3 months off, which they gladly gave me. I went and just kind of went to Australia, explored the wineries there, started exploring how I might get training. And by the time I was ready to kind of be at the end of my 3 months, I was offered a package and never went back.
Why did you pick Australia of all places to go about wine?
Well, that was my place I was obsessed with at the time. This is back 20 some years ago. And I just knew how much great wine there was over there. Everyone thinks Yellowtail and, you know, the sort of more party wines, but there is so much great wine made in Australia. And I think, I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, there was this fascination we had in the whole country about Australia. And
yeah, crocodiles,
it was just always on. Yes, it was always on my bucket list. So I'm telling you, it is an amazing place to go. And there are so many amazing wines that we don't necessarily see in this country, but created my business doing the part of the wine business I love, which is really, you know, turning on those light bulb moments for people, having fun, learning, finding new wines they're going to like, affordable wines that typically tend to be what I get most excited about. Now I bring people on tours. I just got back from Bordeaux. I'm heading to Tuscany in the fall. Yeah, I just want people to be inspired, try more wines, have fun, and forget any of the snobbiness they've ever encountered.
What was the magic moment there when you were taking that class with Chef Michael?
You know, the magic moment, well, I was a little disappointed when I came into the room because I thought, you know, it was part of my plan to start doing things I wouldn't normally do. And cooking lesson wasn't something that would be normal for me because I really didn't cook. And I thought, well, I'm going to meet some guys in here. So, you know, I walked in and of course, everyone in the room was female. And I thought, oh boy, this isn't going to work out. But then in walks this gorgeous chef. And after he started, you know, teaching a little bit, I could tell from his accent he was either from New Jersey or New York. And so I just started, you know, having a little sarcastic banter with him, and it just clicked for us, and we started dating shortly after.
Was it like one of the Hallmark movies, you know, where they're cooking together and then one of them has the flower on the cheek, brush it off?
Yeah, not necessarily one-on-one because there was a room full of people, but absolutely there was a chemistry. And like I said, you know, I was kind of giving a little bit of business, and he was coming back with some good ones. And so we knew like we were on the same wavelength. And so, yeah, it definitely was a great connection. One of my proudest moments was performing the show at Caroline's on Broadway in New York City, which is an iconic comedy club. You know, they had never done anything like this before, because when you come to my show and you sit down, you've got a placemat in front of you with wine glasses and tastings, just like if you were going to a winery. I open up with some comedy, we do some wine tastings, we play some games, and in the end, we all feel really good. I'm telling you.
Well, now tell me about the wine tastings at Caesars Atlantic City and HBO Women in Comedy Festival.
Yeah, those are great because those are large format venues where you can really, you know, reach a lot of people and kind of just introduce to maybe an audience that isn't a super wine savvy audience, right? But people that like to drink wine, but, you know, they'll come up to me and say, I don't really know a lot about wine, but I know what I like. And what I teach people through the course of the show is that it's all about trusting your own taste. And I give you some tools so that you can ask for what you want at a restaurant or a wine store with, you know, the terms that your server or your wine store rep is going to understand. We laugh about the silly things we do in the wine industry, like forever swirling and, you know, sniffing. And why do we do this? And why does it seem so pretentious? So all of it is fair game to be made fun of. I love the, you know, the casinos and the HBO Women in Comedy Festival was just such an honor because there were so many great comedians. But we took over a Boston theater and did the wine comedy show with a wine intermission. And during that intermission, I challenged everybody to try as many wines as possible, and they rose to the occasion. So it's just such a great way to reach people that maybe already love wine, or people who are just kind of lightly into it, and just bring them into the fold and realize, you know what? This is a lot more fun than you think. TheWineCoach.com. You can click on events. You can see any of my upcoming shows, tours, any of the things I'm doing there. You can click on podcasts. I have a weekly podcast called The Sipping Point, where I interview chefs, winemakers, and all kinds of amazing culinary people. You can access that there. You can sign up for my newsletter and all kinds of great wine articles out there just to learn more and have more fun with wine.
Okay, so when you're doing these events, like, you know, the wine tasting, you know, whether it be the HBO Festival or Caesars Atlantic City, or, you know, just your local ones or wherever, even on a cruise, is there a standard heckler question that somebody wants to take a run at you?
You know, I don't get a lot of hecklers. I mean, you know, people like to be part of the show. So what I've done is there are several opportunities during the show for people to come up on stage. You know what? Usually the hecklers are just people that want attention. Let's just face it, right? Yeah. So yeah. I have already built into my show opportunities for people to come up, and we get our drinking names on. I won't give that away, but that's a really fun time. And they're different than your real name. People come up and I have a game called the Cork Dork Challenge. You know, that's what they call us wine geeks, cork dorks. So we have a little game show that we play, and other opportunities for people to come up on stage. So if I see somebody who might even resemble a heckler, I'll just bring them right up on stage and make them part of the show, because you know what? People are in a good mood when they have four wine tastings in front of them.
Has there been a funny wine snob gets humbled kind of moment?
Absolutely. I have a fun little segment of the show where we talk about how smelling is so important to the wine tasting process. And I have a smell challenge. And sometimes people think they are maybe far more in tune with their smelling abilities than they are. So that's a great one for people who have brought their wine snob with them. Send them up to me and we see if they can identify blindfolded different things that I put under their nose. No, these are just common everyday things you might come across. So, yeah. You know, this is why chefs and gardeners and people in the perfume industry are always great wine tasters, because they are really in tune with what they're smelling. But it's not an innate ability that, you know, only these kinds of people and somms have. It's just more of training your nose and being in touch with it and doing it over and over again. So I always joke with people, you know, you want to build up your smell vocabulary, and it's kind of training your brain what things smell like. And you can do that, but just going to the grocery store and just smell everything in sight. It's 100% free and no one can stop you. Go through the produce section, the fruit, all of it. I want wouldn't say chaotic, but I've definitely got to do some really fun venues. So with the Beef Association a few years back, I got to do a wine tasting at a rodeo. It's that damn old rodeo. In South Dakota. That was absolutely something I did not have for my bucket list. But you know what? It was great. And I realized, because I had never been to a rodeo before, that there is a lot of wine intersection there. There's a lot of wine lovers at the rodeo. And it's more than just, you know, the bull riding. There's so many great food and wine connections there. There's shopping. It was just a really fun experience. I also did a wine tasting at the Hank Williams Museum in Alabama. Another one I didn't have on my bingo card. So I just really get to do all of these fun corporate tastings at amazing venues. And really, you know, what I want people to leave is thinking about wine differently. I call it think different, drink different. And that's about trusting your own taste. So as long as people leave with that one thought and they had a great time, they tasted something they loved, they laughed with their family and friends, in the end, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, when you were saying the Cattlemen's Beef Association, I was trying to think of Yellowstone watching. I don't think they were drinking wine on the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of brown liquor there, but but you'll find if you go to these rodeos that a number of them have wine components to the lineup, like wine gardens and wine things, because it is such a popular beverage, and there's a lot of ladies there too who love drinking wine. So,
what is the now? You got your start. You said your first introduction to wine was through a box. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, I'll back up. Previous to the box, my very first wine experience, and I do share this a lot of times with my audiences, but maybe not with my fancy wine friends, but it was Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill at the drive-in movies. Yep. I'm sure you remember the drive-in movies.
Oh, was it Chitty
but
Chitty
I got
Bang
a little Bang? Taste of it. No, not that far back. But I got a little taste of that Boone's Farm and I thought, tastes like cheese to me, not quite digging it. So pretty much in college was more on the malt beverage side of things and didn't really get back to wine till I was in the working world, again, attending some of those business dinners.
Going from Boone's Farm to what's the most expensive wine that you've ever tasted?
Oh, geez. Most expensive wine. Possibly maybe a Bordeaux, like a Chateau Petrus or a Sauternes, like Chateau de Cam. I love Barolos from Italy. Those can be some of the most expensive wines. Definitely dig champagne. But, you know, really, I get more jazzed about finding great, affordable wines under $25 because, you know, when I'm drinking on a Tuesday night, I'm not popping open a $100 bottle of wine, and most people I know aren't either. So most of what I do is finding those great, affordable gems, and that's what I try to share at my shows.
Yeah.
I do have a free app for iPhone and Android called The Wine Coach, just the name of my business, and you can listen to my podcast in there. You can email me if you have any wine questions. My wine picks are there and so much more. And yeah, I just hope people will come out and see me and see something to whine about, to really experience the ultimate pairing, wine and laughter. Yeah, you just go to the App Store, iPhone or Android, and just find the Wine Coach app and download it for free. Love to connect with everyone on socials. On Instagram, it's just at The Wine Coach. Same thing on Threads. And if you go to Facebook and just put in The Wine Coach, I will come right up. Thank you so much. And I just want to invite everybody to connect with me at thewinecoach.com. And you know what? The last thing I want to say is cheers.